All right. Thank you for that special. I know that Amber's been working hard on being able to play the harp. She's a little bit timid with us tonight, but she's going to get used to it because I like it. Amen. And I appreciate the effort she's put in on it. And we've been wanting that to happen. Tonight, I'll ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll cover our scripture again on the Lord's Supper. And hold your Bible open to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. We'll talk through verses beginning about verse 19 to the end of the chapter as we do participate in the Lord's Supper tonight. Understand that a lot of false teaching goes on concerning the Lord's Supper, and we'll try to say just a few things about it and just kind of hurry so we can get it all in tonight. The Lord's Supper does not get you saved if you take it. Do you understand that? It's like baptism. It's a picture. It's a memorial, as we'll see here in the scripture, but too many churches teach that you got to have this on a regular basis or you can't be saved. Now, we need to understand something. It is a serious thing. Do you understand that the early Christians paid for their lives? I'm hearing a baby somewhere. We're going to have to get that fixed. Okay, thank you. Look back this way. You've seen a baby before. You see, you've seen me before too, but I look better tonight. All right, come on back with me. There's a lot of people paid a great price to sneak around in the early days to participate in what we have the freedom to participate in tonight. That is to take the Lord's Supper in the open without fear. The days of Rome, they had to sneak around in the catacombs and other places and hide, and much of it through history was that way. As we look at it tonight, we find the church at Corinth was abusing the Lord's Supper, and the Apostle Paul wrote to correct them, and in so doing, we still have the pattern that we need to go by and follow today. So in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." Now, he's fixing to identify a heresy. Something they're doing wrong at the church at Corinth. He says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now, understand what he's saying. Every time we meet, we're not obligated to participate in the Lord's Supper. Do you see that? This is every time you come together into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. We don't do it as often as some, even Baptist churches do. Some do it every month and maybe even more often. We do it about three, sometimes four times a year, but we want it to be special when we do it. We don't want it to just even don our kids to get all that used to it. It is something special as we recognize what it is. So he says to the church at Corinth, "When you come together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken." They brought, so to speak, their basket lunch, and it's almost a show-off thing. "Look how what we got. We're better than you. We got a bigger basket than you have tonight." That was abuse. That's the reason when we take the Lord's Supper, the bread is just a little piece, and the juice is just a little tiny cup. We're not eating it for the value of the food. We're eating it for a memorial, and so there's a big difference there. So that's what he warns them about here. Says, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken." What? With a question mark? "Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, somebody's questioned this, because this is Paul. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. When did he receive this of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I know he was struck down on the road to Damascus to be saved, but Paul also received firsthand testimony from the other disciples. Paul was acquainted with John. He was acquainted with Peter and those that were at what we call the Last Supper. So he had it direct. He'd received the Lord. And yes, Jesus could have gave it to him in another way. I don't deny that. But he said, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now let's be clear. The Lord Jesus said, this is my body. But it was his body that handed over the bread. He didn't break off a piece of finger. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying there's some stupid teaching out there today that tries to make the actual physical body of Christ, and when they come together and take the bread, all of a sudden a miracle takes place and you're eating the body and flesh of Christ. No, 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 100 times no. Common sense prevails in the reading here. And the same thing, of course, with the cup or with the juice. Now, he said, this is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. There's your key down in verse 24. In remembrance of me. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're remembering the Lord gave himself for us. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Don't say how often, but as often as you do it. You do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. See, here's a doctrine right in the Lord's Supper. As we do it as a memorial, as we do it as a remembrance to the Lord, it's also the fact that he promised to come again. How often, how long are we to keep on observing this? It says, till he come. And it shows forth we believe that he's coming. And of course we do. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, that's a fearful verse there, verse 27. It's saying to us that it's possible to take the Lord's Supper unworthily. And he gets on with the details here in the next verse, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We live in the last day of the church age, I think. I think so-called churches are filled more with fakery and hypocrisy than probably any time in the church age. There's people that have learned how to speak churchy language, sing church songs, pretend to be something they're not. And of course, that gives ammunition to the world to say the church is full of hypocrites. Well, it's increasingly so, but you can't have a fake without having the real thing first. You don't have counterfeit money unless you have real money. And there's genuine God's people, many of them in the house of God, doing things right. Thankfully, that is true. At the same time, there's so many people that can take the Lord's Supper and never even consider what kind of life they're living, how much sin they're in, and yet that's what these verses are warning against, taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. It's a fake to take it. It's a lie. I say to you tonight, and you judge yourself. Isn't that the good thing? Verse 28, let a man examine himself. So the preacher's not examining you, neither am I responsible for you. If you're living in sin and taking the Lord's Supper, you're asking God for judgment. That's why we ought to search our souls, search our hearts, and confess our sin to the Lord, claim the blood of Jesus, ask forgiveness, but to willingly say, nobody else in here knows that I'm doing this. I'm living in adultery. I'm drunk on the side or shooting pills or something else on the side. No, no, no. God knows it. Amen. Careful. You can eat and drink unworthily if you're living in a sinful lifestyle and not willing to turn and repent from it. Be careful about that. It is quite possible that it can cause just what he says in the next verse. For this cause, verse 30. What cause? What he just described. Eating and drinking unworthily. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now he's talking about believers when he's talking about sleep. Lost people die, believers sleep. The body, in a sense, sleeps. The soul is with the Lord. The two are joined back together when the Lord comes back. But we recognize what he's saying. Some are sickly, some sleep. Some God causes to die early. It's possible. I believe as a preacher, I've known God to take some folks before, I believe before their time, because they brought his judgment down on them, and they were a child of God. I mean in the sense they were saved. By the way, there's a difference in being saved and being a Christian. Being saved means you're not going to hell. Being a Christian means that you're a testimony before others in wearing the badge of Christ and being a testimony for him. There's a difference between those two. So here we look and see what he says here. He says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's our privilege to do that and to try to keep a clean heart before the Lord. I challenge you tonight. That's why we have a hush at the Lord's Supper. We search our hearts. We pray. We pray both over the bread and over the cup. And we're asking God to cleanse us. And that he reveals to us that's wrong in our lives, we need to ask him to forgive us and then repent of it. Work at changing it. Turn from it. That's what he's talking about. So he says in verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Now, if you understand that, chastened is the same thing a parent does when they spank a kid that's disobedient. And yes, we can be chastened of the Lord. Hebrews 12 says, he chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. We are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and that's the reason you'll notice tonight that we'll try to take the bread in unison and the cup in unison. We'll wait on each other. Verse 34, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order